From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 30th, 2010. Every week, this podcast brings awareness to the news that shapes the geospatial industry sector, the trends of location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today, we turn the tables and focus on you, our readers and listeners. We'll talk about your interests and discuss your comments, criticisms, the good, the bad, and the ugly from our 2010 reader survey. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Get ArcGIS on your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. Download the free app from the Apple App Store. For more information, visit www.esri.com/ArcGIS for iOS.
Well, Adina, every year during this time in November, we try to solicit comments and criticisms from our readers, and we ask a few questions to solicit what they want to hear, what they want to read about, what's important to them, what will help them do their job better. We asked about 12-13 questions for the survey this year. We're offering a Kindle, and there's still time to take the survey, which we'll put a link in the show notes. But I want to focus on a couple of questions that, to me, solicited some interesting responses. And so the first one I want to focus on is, how important were specific topics when deciding to read directions? And we asked a series, but the top ones, and this seems to be the case every year, is everybody wants to hear about new technology trends. 77% of the people responding to the survey selected that as their top need. To hear about new technology trends. Second on that list, following fairly closely behind, was geospatial application-related articles. 70% of the readers responded they wanted to hear more of that. And I thought, what do they mean by new technology trends? What is it that they think that they want to hear about? We left it fairly generic. It left me kind of questioning, well, are we doing the right thing? And it seems that by this type of response, this overwhelming response, more than three-quarters of the people responding want to hear about what's new. They don't want to hear about what they're doing. They want to keep abreast of what's going on.
The best we can really do is guess about what that means. We do have some specific comments that came back with regard to this question, too, but I think we have to sort of do our best guessing, and hopefully this podcast maybe will solicit some more input. My thought in looking at that very high percentage that pick new technology trends makes me think of a couple things. First off, I think most people in our community who are working in GIS, and we use this term quite a lot in our discussions, are heads down GIS professionals. They have specific tasks they have to do. They have deadlines. They're working really hard. They've got their hands in one or more pieces of geospatial software. They're correcting data. They're trying to get products out. And frankly, they don't have the time and energy to even evaluate what the trends might be. So I think that's part of our task. And I think the other half of that task is trying to decipher which of the more broad technology trends are going to be really important for geospatial technology. So for example, everybody's heard of cloud computing, but the real question is, how does cloud computing relate to and impact the day-to-day work of these heads-down GIS professionals? So part of it is relating broad technology trends to our specific industry.
Right, and making it applicable to their everyday job. Now, I want to pick out one particular comment here. Please redefine the way you think about GIS. I don't believe anyone needs to buy a GIS system anymore. And parenthetically, they add, though this thought is pervasive, people use geospatial information to solve business problems, and it is increasingly being integrated into standard business processes and applications rather than a silo GIS platform with an analyst. Now, what's remarkable about this comment is in the context of where we are right now in moving geospatial technology into the mainstream information technology stack. It's exactly the type of comment that I had been hoping to hear. I think our challenge is getting more people in the mainstream IT community to go deeper into learning about applications that we have. I think that many people want to see the stack pushed into mainstream IT. I'm not sure the IT people see it that way.
I think the other thing that comment brings out, and I think their request is valid, and I hope we're already looking at GIS that way. I think we are. This idea that GIS can be anything from linking to a mashup from your company's website to help people navigate to your place of business to having a fully loaded stack either on-premise or hosted in the cloud. And that range of options is available out there, and the real goal for we users is to find the right solution for the problem at hand. And it may not be a GIS system. In fact, I think the commenter is quite right that these days it's less and less likely that you're going to need to implement a full GIS system.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. One of the questions we asked was what types of webinars you would like to see presented. And while we rely sometimes on, and most on, what the individual sponsor would like to tell us about, and sometimes that leads to sales pitches, which we fully understand and get, the types of responses we got to this question are, and I'll read just one of them here, says, I want to learn how-to topics, how to optimize databases, how to create mashups, GIS 101. And 78% of the people responding to that question wanted to see some of these how-to type things. And I thought that was, in relation to what we just discussed, there are still people out there who want basic GIS information and applications And that to me was remarkable, again, juxtaposed to what we just discussed. And I think what it says is, I think it goes to the growth of the market. I think there's a fundamental growth in the industry out there, and there are more people entering the market that need to hear how to. That's my take.
There's a couple ways to look at the demand for how to. And one of them, and I see this a lot in myself, I need to confirm that I have it right. I may have studied that some time ago, and I need a refresher to make sure that I really do have it right about how GPS works or about how projections work. So I think there may be some demand from the folks with their heads down just to, you know, give me a little review there and make sure I'm still sharp on the topic at hand. The other demand may be, and I saw this in response to that first question that we discussed, somebody specifically said, what I really like are when you have links to online maps, because then I can share them with my colleagues and help them understand what GIS does. And I think some of these how-tos, the idea may be the same kind of thing. Pass along a little video that shows how to do something, saying, here's something we could do here.
And you know, we're challenged in two ways. One, that we have a web map gallery. We discontinued filling that gallery a lot because we thought that I think everything had been done, and perhaps that's not the case. And two, we're now implementing a lot of videos. We're putting a lot more videos online just to fill our video library, and this certainly gives us some good feedback about what we need to put in that video library so people can have this as a resource. One of the things that also was highly ranked in that question about what kind of webinars you want were show me vertical industry topics, urban planning, infrastructure, retail, GIS. That got 62% response. And just about the same number of people said, I want to see horizontal technology topics. So we're challenged as a publication to deliver both. Sometimes that we don't always do the best job of that, and I think we heard some comments like that. But this, again, is an interesting juxtaposition, right? Give me vertical, but also give me horizontal, too. We still need to know basics, but hey, I work in urban planning, and I really want to see urban planning discussed. And we're going to do some things in the new year to offer some more vertical applications, but I thought this was giving us some very good feedback nonetheless.
Right, and I think we need to sort of take all of this input with a grain of salt, because as much as we think that we serve a niche market of the GIS professional, that niche market is quite broad. And as you pointed out, we have everybody from students and beginners to people who've been in the industry for 20, 30, 40 years. Many people are moving between vertical industries. They used to do GIS for forestry, but now they're doing GIS for urban planning. So we've got a lot of people moving around, and there's going to be all kinds of different demand. And you're right, we just have to do our best to serve as many of these readers and listeners as we can.
All right. Now, one of the most interesting parts of our reader survey is when we just open up the floor and say, hey, give us your comments, suggestions, and criticisms. And I want to read a few of those before we end our podcast today. So one person who took the survey said this, and I quote, "Address the need for GIS to escape its boutique technology ghetto and become a grown-up component of IT. The world needs professional geographers more than it needs GIS technicians. Integration of geospatial functions into the lifeblood of IT services is the future. The separation of GIS from IT is artificial and is no longer needed. Today, it is mostly a psychological tool of the GIS vendors and conference hosters working to protect their revenue streams. It's time for GIS to grow up. And yes, I do have the credentials to assert this opinion with deep and lengthy knowledge of geography, cartography, and geographical information sciences." And you kind of have to digest that comment, because what I think they're saying is this is moving forward. This technology is growing, and we shouldn't confine ourselves to the vendors and the typical applications that we mainly see. It caused me really to pause and think about what we provide in terms of content, and this is something I think we'll probably take quite seriously.
Yeah, that was a quite pointed comment, clearly from somebody who's been thinking about it for some time. And again, how we serve that sort of need alongside show me some small and technical how-tos is quite a challenge.
Yeah. And I want to quote one thing that is based on a presentation that David DiBiase of Penn State made at our Rocket City conference 2 weeks ago of the projected need for geospatial applications. And so as we grow this business, as we try to move GIS into the IT stack, the projections from the Department of Labor are quite stunning. In 2008 to the 2018 time frame, this is a 10-year time span, the growth of geospatial occupations will expand remarkably. The Department of Labor projects that we'll need 340,000 new geospatial technologists, and this is based on a number of occupations that they've produced, to fill the need, to fill the demand for geospatial technology. And the two top occupations that are listed are geospatial information scientists and technologists and geographic information systems technicians. And you can almost separate that into the guys with the BAs and the guys with the kind of the associate two-year degrees, both of which the demand is projected at 7 to 13% growth, with about 72,000 new jobs for each category. That kind of puts in context the comment from our reader about take this out of the boutique and ghetto position that it's used to being in. And really what the numbers are showing is we're going to need all sorts of people in this job. It's not just the technicians, it's the well-educated people, it's the people with master's degrees. The growth is really projected to be quite a lot. And again, for us who are trying to educate the market or trying to provide the best source and best resource for the geospatial professional, it presents a huge challenge as this market will grow. And another comment that I want to point out here, I am much more interested in use cases supported by geospatial and verticals such as insurance, retail, transportation. And then they add more coverage of Oracle, SAP, IBM, and etc. And I thought that was very telling. There were no mention of the top GIS companies in that comment. It was the MISO companies, right? Microsoft, IBM, SAP, and Oracle. And I guess what this is suggesting is there's a recognition that the larger IT players are in the market, and they're the ones that many companies are looking to for the solutions. And I just had to point that out. It just kind of struck me.
Right. One, it also may reflect the fact that many of our readers already have a very strong sense of what is available in the what we would refer to as the traditional geospatial marketplace, and what's really new and what they're doing within their shops is linking it up to these other systems, and those kinds of solutions are less familiar. So that's a new frontier.
As these companies get more and more have more and more solutions to offer, it's kind of a no-brainer. You have to look at marrying your Oracle database applications with your GIS system. And one other final comment was kind of quirky that I thought was interesting. And I quote, "You should investigate how much influence geomatics in social systems and thinking about the world." What I'm guessing that they were referring to was, what's the impact of geospatial information on social systems, on the world, and thinking about how the technology has impacted the world. And I thought that was an interesting comment because, again, somebody who stood back and looked at geospatial technology and said, you know, it is growing, but it's having an impact, and maybe the influx or the exposure that Google and Bing are having on the world is making a difference.
Right, and that actually harkens back to that other comment about we need more geographers as opposed to more GIS professionals. That's the kind of question that I would pose to somebody who studies behavioral geography. And what has the explosion of geographic data and technology across the planet, across all kinds of different users, how has that changed their behavior? That's a pretty tough question, but a fascinating one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but there is still time to give us feedback by taking the survey, and we'll put a link in the show notes, as I mentioned earlier. And remember, your comments will be read because we've done so here today. So take the survey and also enter a chance to win one of three Amazon Kindles. We'd love to hear from you. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that the 2011 Esri Federal User Conference will be held January 19th to the 21st in Washington, D.C. The conference offers many resources to help you leverage GIS technology, solve problems, and more effectively execute your agency's mission. For more information and to register to attend, visit www.esri.com/FedUC. That's F-E-D-U-C. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comment box where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. And finally, I'd like to remind our listeners that this Friday we will have our inaugural Directions On Point. Now, this is an interactive conversation with industry leaders, and our first interviewee this week will be Steve Coast, the founder of OpenStreetMap and new employee of Microsoft Corporation. We'll talk to Steve about OpenStreetMap and the future for OSM as he embarks on his new career at Microsoft. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.